Doctor.
It's Club Ritter.
Engage. Shazam!
Chevron 7, lock.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight.
Kawabunga.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 44. We'll call this take two. We were our first night actually doing this for Heroes Asylum podcast, but we wanted to give us a shot on Facebook so you guys can check us out there. And so, Kane, how you doing today? Let's get start
pretty,
this over.
Pretty good. Part deux.
Yes. Unfortunately, yes. We don't have any tiger blood to help us through this one.
No, unfortunately not. We're just gonna have to muscle through.
That's right. It's all right, guys. This is why we don't get paid for this just yet. What we are going to be doing today, folks. Again, like I said, the Heroes Asylum. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing, checking us out on the online, and so that way you guys can see our pretty little faces, see us as we do the show, and also we're gonna throw some nice little visual things at you guys too as we go along. So what we're going to do, we're actually going to get started here today on, like we do with every show, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the admissions ward. And here we go, folks.
News from the admissions ward.
So, admissions ward this week. It looks like we got some things that were happening, some other ones, some new news, some old news, some old stories coming back around that I thought would have been dead by now, but I guess not. So what do you have going on in the admissions ward?
Well, to start off, on a $63 million budget, the Joker is now at over $1 billion worldwide. The total currently sits at about $1.3 million, which is closing in on The Dark Knight, which kind of incredible when you think about it. You know, Dark Knight being this celebrated film, probably the greatest comic book film of all time. It depends on who you ask. But this film has definitely made its budget back and then some. There's been talk of a sequel. A lot of things going through in the Warner Brothers right now. You know how Warner Brothers operates. You know, they see something that makes money and automatically they're going to put it into production, a sequel, which I hope they don't do. I hope they're a little bit smarter about it. And I hope they branch off and do other things. But the thing about it I'd like to say is it's an accomplishment. Yes, I hope they don't get greedy and start thinking, let's do Joker 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But when you have this catalog of DC that you can do these one-off films now. You can do a Superman Red Sun if you wanted to. You could do a Batman Year One if you wanted to. You could do like just any kind of – like The Question I think we were talking about a while ago. Any of these characters that haven't been touched on film, guess what? You can get like a low budget – get an up-and-coming director, and you could just throw it out there and see what happens. You got all these little niches you can do. You could do a Western. You could do a crime noir. You could do anything. You could do a horror. I mean, there's just so many possibilities with this. I think that's what for Warner Brothers and DC, that the success is going to lead to, is these other one-offs, which I hope is going to happen. I hope they don't green-light Joker into the DCU. I hope they don't do 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't do that. This was a one-off film. This was a character study. You know, it doesn't need to have a sequel. It was an open and ended thing. It's done. What say you, sir?
I say the same thing. I think leave the world building to Marvel. They seem to know how to do it the right way. They've got the right team in place for it. I think the one thing that DC has is, like you're saying, they've got a library of, you know, just ridiculous amounts. So definitely The Question, I think, would be a great one. That conspiracy theory film, noir detective styles. So you'd be a little bit of a breakaway from Batman, but I think it'd be more, you know, the conspiracy theory. But I mean, you can have them interlocked in a way that, yeah, they're in kind of the same universe, but they're not teaming up. We're not getting those team ups that we saw with Marvel. I think if they just stuck to what I think they've done best in just their comic book runs is just do your one-offs. I don't see Black Label doing it. Black Label's just starting off right now for them to take any of those stories. But I think if they just delved into the regular catalog, I think they'd be doing fine with just as one-offs.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the future of DC, is just doing these one-offs. I think, you know, the intertwining of universes, they've tried that. It didn't work the best way. now just, you know, they took a step back and they're like, let's do what we have always done right. And that's the one-offs. And, you know, this film is definitely going to lead into that territory. Shazam did a good job of it. I think Wonder Woman was really a standoff as well. Slight connections here and there, but it wasn't like overwhelming. This is the future of DC if they do it right. I mean, you can concentrate about intertwining and interweaving everything later on. You know, you just produce good films first, go forward, then think about connecting them. Don't think about like, you know, your, I think I heard somebody say this first. Don't put your universe ahead of your films. You know, don't think big first, think small first, then build your universe. And I think that's what DC definitely should do right now.
Yeah. Put that groundwork in there and just build from there and see, and just, you have to have a good foundation. If you don't have a good foundation, I mean, if anybody looks, check out the Disney Plus, they have the Assembling of the Avengers or something like that, or Assembling of a Universe. And they talk about how when they did the first Iron Man movie, just exactly what they were trying to do and what the idea was behind it. And that they, yeah, they had an idea that they wanted to go big, but they didn't know. They had to just try it, and they literally did it almost as an independent film. You know, when they really started off, they weren't tied to anybody. Marvel Studios was still a comic book company.
And yeah, it was still at its infancy, yeah.
Yeah, so
it was a big risk doing that Iron Man film, too.
Yeah, so it was, you know, so that's something, you know, they have to look at is you, they have the money behind them, so go simple at first. You know, you build your characters, build your, give us a reason to care about your characters. If we didn't have Iron Man 1, we wouldn't have cared about, you know, Love You 3000. You know, if we didn't have that.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, you got a world build first before, you know, and everything else come great. We just do like Marvel did. I mean, not exactly like they did, but no, they didn't build a universe before. They went slow, and they slowly built, and then they dropped the Avengers Pearl, and that was it. So,
yep. We'll see. Next one I have, actually, speaking of Marvel, DC, or not DC, sorry, Disney, we have Kevin Feige was talking and discussing the, you know, the growth of Disney Plus with the Marvel world, and, you know, of course, we were talking about the Hulk, Moon Knight, and Miss Marvel. He was talking about that first time that they're going to show up on Disney Plus, but they're going to be growing into the cinematic universe, just kind of like what we had always hoped when we saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and when we saw Daredevil. And, you know, we are like, oh man, we want them to not just be their own little world in New York and be the Defenders that we all knew them from the comic book line, but we also would love to see them get involved in the bigger world. And I think that's something that they're going to try to do now with their properties, which I think is smart, is, you know, they own them now. So they have, you know, the Disney Plus. I think Hulu is going to be another one where they're going to have these characters. But he did mention these three up here right now, She-Hulk, Moon Knight, and Miss Marvel, to be part of the Disney Plus and to move on and to go forward into the universe. Sorry, drawing a blank there.
No, they're just kind of like reverse engineering the whole thing. I mean, whereas movies were connected slightly into TV and they have their own streaming service now, they're just going reverse. Like, they're going to go streaming service into the movies. Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense too. I mean, they're going to have possibly, I'm going to spitballing here, maybe 10 episode, 11 episode run for each character. You're going to get to know them, and then eventually you'll see them on film. So it's a smart move. I mean, Disney and Marvel Studios can do no wrong. Everything they touch turns into gold. The Disney Plus, you know, platform, which, you know, I guess we're 2 weeks into it, over 10 million subscribers. That's already. So, and that's not, and that's, you know, that's basically what their catalog and The Mandalorian they released, and what's coming in the future. So, you know, smart moves. They're not dumb. Kevin Feige's not a dumb man. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's planned all this out for the last five. Actually, he's got the read in an interview, I think, a year ago, that he has like the next 5 to 6 years planned out. So I don't think you'll see X-Men or Fantastic Four.
No, not anytime.
Maybe you will. Maybe, but I doubt you'll see those guys yet. So good on them.
Yes, sir. So what do you have next, sir?
Well, Marky Mark, or as I call him, Mark Wahlberg, has been cast in the Uncharted movie. He'll be playing Victor Sullivan. Victor Sullivan is, of course, is the, I guess he you would call him, I'm trying to think of the name, sort of the mentor to Nathan Drake. So, which is kind of funny because Mark was actually rumored to be playing Nathan Drake for so many years. But of course, Nathan Drake is going to be played by Tom Holland. If you don't know what Uncharted is, very popular video game, very Indiana Jones type of vibe. That's what I kind of compare Nathan Drake to. He's very Indiana Jones. But, you know, there's a short film on YouTube with Nathan Fillion, him playing Nathan Drake, which I think would have been picture perfect. But, yeah, you know, studios, they obviously wanted to go a little bit younger. They want to make a franchise because everything about studios nowadays is all about IP. And, you know, sequels. They want that sequel money. You know, they see what Marvel has done. You know, get an IP out there, get a young actor who can grow with the whole franchise and then move forward. But having Mark Wahlberg in there is kind of an odd choice. He's not a horrible actor, but him being kind of like the mentor type of figure to Tom Holland, a little weird. But, you know, we'll see where they go with it. See if they're going to capture Victor's, you know, mannerisms. You know, he's kind of like a dickhead if he ever played the game. And eventually he learns and teaches Nathan how to do his thing. And they go on from there. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, these video game adaptations to film usually kind of fail miserably. So we'll see where this one goes. This is like another attempt at making that perfect video game movie, which we haven't had as of yet, except for the first Mortal Kombat. That was pretty badass. But everything after that has been absolute trash. So we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen with this.
You weren't fans of the Tomb Raider series?
I like them.
Little pause there.
They're okay. they're all right.
No,
nothing great. I mean,
nothing great. No,
they're okay.
No, we weren't a fan of the Street Fighter ones either.
No. It's funny that you say Tomb Raider. The Tomb Raider that was released about a year ago actually, like pretty well. Like I thought the girl who played Laura Croft was really good, and they could have gone somewhere with that. But I don't know if they're going to make a sequel to that or not. But we'll see.
All right. So, well, what I have is a news that I've just I think you and I were complaining about or talking about it not that long ago that, you know, it kind of goes in line with one of the ones, I guess we can kind of tie these in together, that, you know, I've always been sick and tired of hearing about the Snyder cuts. You know, you just give it to me or don't. But today or this week, actually, we were announced or it was announced that Black Adam is now officially started pre-production. And they are talking about release date soon. I thought I had heard something about a release date, but when I went to go to look, I couldn't see it. But they're talking.
Isn't it December 2021, I believe?
Is it 21? Okay. All right. I knew that.
Yeah,
I was like,
I think it was 2021.
Pretty close, but I was like, man, I just, again, it's one of those ones. I've heard so many rumors about it. I was just like so sick of hearing it at this point. I didn't even really want to bother reading it. I was like, okay, we'll see. But it sounds like that we're getting more and more news coming out that this is official, that they are finally doing it. I guess really the big one is, you know, are we going to see, you know, Zach or Shazam, is he going to be on there? Or is this going to be more of a origin story to Black Adam and then lead into the Shazam sequel where they meet up? I mean, because we haven't heard of a Shazam sequel as of yet.
So, no, not yet. So there's rumors, but nothing concrete.
So I wonder if they'll release, you know, his, you know, Black Adam's origin story, which is kind of a cool idea. You release the hero's origin, then you release a movie with the villain's origin story, and then you merge them together, very similar to M. Night Shyamalan, as he did with the Glass trilogy. And you know, I did finally get to watch that. I heard so many bad things about it, but when I actually did watch it, I was okay with the movie from how it ended.
The ending was a little wonky, but the whole film as a whole, like the three characters were pretty solid. I liked those guys. I mean,
yeah,
I just felt like the ending was, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but it just wasn't, just didn't feel like it should have led up to that. That's my only complaint about it. I thought there was a lot of ways it could have gone, but going that way that they went, to me, was kind of like, you know, it's too Shyamalan-y. You know, that's a word I can use.
Yeah, that
Shyamalan-y. Shyamalan-y, you know, it's just like he always puts these endings that are just like, and I think he does it on purpose, where we're like, what?
This one was probably the most boring of the endings, honestly.
Yes. Because I was like,
A lot of his are like, oh, well, okay, you know, the village, you know, okay, I'm going to spoil the village if nobody's seen it, but, you know, they're living in basically a forest that's surrounded by a city. It's like, okay, that's kind of out there. But this one was just kind of, all right, it wasn't that odd. Okay, there's a secret government. Big deal. We see that all the time.
Yeah. It's like, okay, great. So they live in a forest. They've torn themselves away from society. Okay, that was the big thing. Okay, great.
But I think with Shazam, I think if they go with that idea, I'm just spitballing. I'm doing my wizard fantasy booking in a way. But yeah, if they did Shazam and then they did Black Adam and then they did a movie where they merged together and met up, I think that would be a really good, because you're invested in the villain as well. You know, he's not just the mustache twirling villain. Given 2 hours of your life to watch this character and have emotion towards him.
Exactly. And I think the way they could go, and one of your favorite movies of all time is Stargate. I think if they do a Black Adam and they put it in the past, which obviously it's going to be in the past, they could do it like they could do it in like an ancient Egypt times, where he was like maybe they could just twist the origin a little bit, that he was a pharaoh or something in the past, and maybe he was a good king and then he found the power, and then instead of using the power to rule his people well, it corrupted him. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go in that. That was for the first time I thought about Stargate for some reason. I'm like, you could do like a Black Adam with like a almost
well
a Stargate.
I mean, that is sort of his origin was very, if I remember correctly, his origin, at least one of the origins I know was Egyptian based, and that he was he was selected because I thought he was a ruler. Even in today, in the books nowadays, he's the leader. God, I wish I could remember the name of the country, but he's the ruler of this one country, that he's there to take care of his people. The things he does to take care of his people are very questionable. So he does fall under that anti-hero kind of realm. But I think it works for him, and that's why I think another movie, a standalone movie with him, give the viewers something to care about with him. And then have these two characters clash. In the end, Black Adam is going to be the bad guy. We already know that. It's in his name.
Yeah,
Black.
We know that.
He's already wearing the black cowboy hat, basically in the name.
Unless you want to be wild, and if you make the Black Adam go into the Shazam movie, and somehow you can make Shazam the enemy. I mean, the reason I say that, I've been reading a comic. It was called King Shazam from the. It's Tales from the Dark Multiverse, but it's a offshoot of the Batman Superman issue 3. The Batman Who Laughs. That he basically got infected, and they made Shazam into more of a villain. And I thought the way they did it was really, really good. And if you could, somehow not incorporate, that storyline, but if you can make Shazam like into the villain, that'd be kind of interesting. I mean, I don't think they'll do it. I mean, they've already established Shazam as a big cheese. He's goody goody and.
Well, that but, he's got the family with him. Yeah, I don't think he'll go that route.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just an idea.
What I think they're going to do is it's kind of what you and I have always talked about, especially with like Lex Luthor, and especially with Thanos, that he's an understanding villain. You understand why he's doing it. I think that's what they're going to do. We're just spitballing here, doing our fantasy booking. But if they did give Black Adam his own movie, and then Shazam and Black Adam met up, I think. We would understand, or maybe sort of agree with why Black Adam is doing what he's doing. He's doing it the wrong way, but we get him. We understand why.
You have empathy for the character. That's you're right. That's what makes the best villains. Is they're the ones who think they're the heroes.
Yeah,
they're doing it right.
Yeah, they think they're doing it the right way, but in the end, it's not. They're doing it's something I've always said to certain people. It's not how you say it. It's not what you're trying to say, but it's how you're saying it that really is the big one. But I guess we can kind of tie this into one of your stories, since I did mention, my disappointment with constantly hearing about the Black Adam movie. But there was also another movie that we were talking about.
Yeah. There is more. There's more smoke into the fire, as they say, as my mom would tell me. Or where there is smoke, there is fire. Gal Gadot recently released an image of her from the Justice League movie, as Ray Fisher did, I guess, a couple weeks back. Then Ben Affleck put his 2 cents in about releasing the Snyder Cut. And I've been with you. I don't really care. I'm tired of hearing about this. But like I said in the beginning of this, where there's smoke, there's fire. And now you got actors behind this. And now you have images behind this. And now I'm at the point, I'm like, just release it already. Just release it. enough of this nonsense. Enough is not ready. You know, it's missing this. It's missing that. Obviously, it's not. I mean, there's a lot of visuals on there. We saw, like, the storyboards and stuff of Darkseid. Maybe they didn't put anything on there, but there's obviously another cut out there. People are clamoring for it. Just release the damn thing. Like, enough already. I don't know why you're holding it back. Are you afraid that it's going to get a better reception than the movie you release? Obviously, it is, because people have been wanting this version for the longest time. I've wanted this version, because the version we got wasn't the best. It was too watered down, and you could tell. It was only 2 hours. Justice League movie, 2 hours. So rushed. It was just so bland. I mean, I could name episodes of the Justice League animated series that were way better than that movie. And that's sad. And this is a movie that obviously had like a $200 million budget with Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, and it barely made a profit. I mean, you know, that's definitely executives meddling and too many cooks in the kitchen, and just take this out, put this in here. Obviously, Zach had a vision. You should just let him finish it. And you didn't let him finish it. And now you have this upward going on for his cut to be released. So just release it already. I just don't know what the big deal is.
I'm sort of on the fence, really. I mean, I am sick of hearing about it. Just either do it or don't. That's where I'm at with it right now. But I am kind of on the fence that it's... I don't know if it would be any good, because like you were saying, they didn't finish filming his stuff. At least with like the Donner cut of Superman 2, he was done. He was already done. They just brought in another director just to tweak a little bit to change the story, so he was kind of not given the credit for it. But with Zach's, I think there was still a lot left over, so I don't know how good it's going to be. And I also am in the same mindset, I guess, in the community that we exist in. There is that bitterness, and it really comes from a lot of the Last Jedi group. I hear those people holding up the same banner and saying the same things about this movie. I think they're the same people that they didn't like what they got, so there's something else, and it's got to be completely better. But I honestly think in the end we're not going to be happy either way. I think it's the Snyder Cut's not going to be as great.
Well, I would like to be the judge of it, and just release it. And that's my whole thing. I mean, I'm tired of hearing about it. Just release it already. I don't know what the big deal is. I mean, I know him and the studio have an issue that went on. I mean, they brought Whedon in. It was a freaking mess. What was the nickname they call it? Franken League, because it was so mixed matched together all the scenes and all that. Yeah. I mean, if you watch the first trailer for Justice League. I mean, it was incredible. I think it was the one at Comic-Con, or like the second one. I think it was before it came out. Those scenes in that trailer were never in the movie. Never. None of them. And like, where did they go? I mean, there's scenes that were made, so there's got to be a version out there. Maybe there's like some things that are missing, like some previs. I mean, you could go back and clean that up a little bit, but you know, there's a version out there.
Yeah.
I just don't want to hear about it no more. Just either release it or stop talking about it. Obviously, I'm to the point, just stop already. Just release the damn. Stop showing me behind-the-scenes pictures. Stop showing me, hey, guess what? I did this. Hey, I was on the screen for this. Like, I don't need to hear that no more. Let's just move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Enough.
Speaking of moving on, we have a new movie, and you and I have the same exact feelings about remakes. Sometimes it's just not needed. But this is one I'm very interested in seeing. They just dropped the trailer this week, and that is for the Blumhouse Fantasy Island with Michael Pena starring as Mr. Rourke. I'm kind of psyched. I mean, because usually when we get our remakes or reimaginings or anything from our childhood, they're either corny, they're slapsticky, they're comedies. You know, the Baywatch one, which I love the Baywatch one. It's funny to watch, but it makes fun of itself. Charlie's Angels, Chips, 21 Jump Street. You know, they're all comedies. This one, it's a movie, and it's not. It's pretty dark from the trailer. Did you get a chance to see it?
Yeah, my only question is, where's Tattoo?
That's one thing I don't think they're going to be doing.
Where is he? Like, you have Mr. Rourke, you have the island, you have the plane, but where's Tattoo? Where is he? Is he going to show up later?
There was a girl in there. She said, hey, sir, the plane's here. And I was like, oh, I think they're going PC on us on this one.
See, you can't.
But just the look of it just looks amazing. I mean, the idea that it's like, I mean, if you
it's
remember
a horror movie, it's strange. I'm like, out of all the movies you think of to remake and all the series of the 80s, because that was an 80s TV series with the immortal Ricardo Montalban, making Fantasy Island a horror movie on first look is like, no. But then I saw this trailer and I'm like, oh, it's Blumhouse. Oh. Oh. Okay.
Well, but if you remember the show, did you watch the show at all?
Yeah, I remember the show.
The show had twisted and kind of weird endings. So
But they were mostly happy endings.
Not always. There were a few stories where it wasn't. They got their fantasy, but the ending of the fantasy was, well, you got it, but that's not really what you wanted. Mm-hmm. And I think that they took that concept and just went, well, what would it be with today's sensibility? I mean, that was made back in the early 80s. Sensibility was different. But today, and then, of course, like, you know, you said, being put out by Blumhouse, it's, you know, the sensibility of today's culture, would be more, okay, you're going to get your fantasy, but it's really, really not going to be what you want.
But it's not going to be the one you want, yeah.
You got...
and with Michael Peña in it, I'm down. So
you got... it's being directed by Jeff Wadlow. He directed Kick-Ass 2, one of my favorites, and Truth or Dare.
I like Kick-Ass 2. You know, people crap on that movie a lot. I actually enjoy it, especially Jim Carrey as the... I forgot what his character's name was, but I thought he did a good job in that movie. But, you know, the specter of Big Daddy always looms hard in Kick-Ass when he's not there.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a big one. To big shoes to fill, no pun intended, when it comes to a character. And but I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been looking forward to a horror movie in a while, and this one looks like it'll be good. I don't think it'll be so much horror, but more suspense, I think.
Yeah, I think that, like, all the little jump scares you saw in the trailer was just to sell the movie. I think it'll be more not suspenseful. So I don't think you'll see gore or anything like that. You know, I don't think you'll see Mr. Rourke chasing you with an axe or anything that.
Maybe we will.
It'll be more suspense.
Maybe we will, and that's where Tattoo went. His head's hanging off of the stage.
Can you imagine? Going to his room, yeah, I had this assistant, and you see, like, his head in the corner, hanging on the wall. Maybe he has, like, the Mr. Work character is like a never, like, he's like a reincarnated character. Like, every time he dies, he gets reincarnated, gets born again, and you see, like, Ricardo Montalban in the background. Like, who's that? I go, that was the other Mr. Work. Okay, so
we almost had an episode without a fucking Doctor Who reference. You had to throw a Doctor Who idea in there.
There's always going to be Hoovy in there.
You had to do it. In fact, last night I forgot to do one because we were talking about Mandalorian. If nobody saw, we did do a test run last night on Facebook of the Mandalorian. And there was I never knew this before when I was doing it, but they were talking about the I can always never say them. The Tranlosians, the bounty hunters.
Yeah,
the lizard ones. And they were talking about Bossk and how his costume was actually left over from Doctor Who. I did not know that.
Oh, really?
Yes, in Empire when they dressed him up, it was a leftover from Doctor Who. And I was like, and then we got so busy talking about something else, we completely jumped over that. So,
even you knew about the Doctor Who reference.
I just happened to come across it. Damn Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, what do you have next?
Patrick Wilson is rumored, or I guess he is coming back to do Aquaman 2. Patrick Wilson, of course, who starred in Watchmen, he played I believe he played Night Owl 2, if I'm not mistaken, he was great in that. But he did a great job as King Orm for Aquaman, which Aquaman, you know, depends on who you talk to, if you liked Aquaman or not. I made over $1 billion. I thought Aquaman, for what it was fun.
Yeah.
Just a fun movie, swashbuckling. You know, the story wasn't the greatest in the world. Special effects were great, though. I love those special, especially the underwater stuff.
I thought some of the stuff on the special effects, I almost was borderline Bukkake special effects.
I liked it. People didn't like the drumming octopus. I thought that was okay.
No, my biggest thing was when they were driving up to the gates of Atlantis, and there's this long line of glowing lights, and Aquaman's like, what, nobody tried to get in? She's like, they'll die. But I'm like, did nobody see this before underwater? Like, this long line of lights going into this door? That was the only one that threw me off. I was like, come on.
Okay. You might got me there.
The rest of it, I was like, it was fun. And it was just what they said it was going to be. They're like, no, it's going to be swashbuckling. And everybody's like, oh, pirates and that. I was like, yeah, it was more than that. You know, swashbuckling is a certain style. It's not just about pirates.
Yeah, just think of movies like Romancing the Stones 1 and 2. That swashbuckling type of movie. That was another one out there. I forgot. I think it was with Sharon Stone. She was in it too. I forgot his name.
Talking about Alan Quartermain.
Alan Quartermain, yeah. The Alan Quartermain films.
You like that?
Good, good pull. Yeah, that was nice. Same wavelength there. Yeah, but those films are more of the swashbuckling type of films. Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily have to be piratey, but you know, he's going to come back. He did a good job as King Orm. It'll be interesting to see what he does in part two, because if you haven't watched Aquaman, spoilers, this movie's been out for a while, King Orm goes to jail. So, you know, does he escape jail? Does he help Black Manta out in part two? I mean, I don't know. So, but having him back in the movie, Patrick Wilson's an A-plus actor. So, you know, as they always say, bringing talent back is always a good job, especially a talent like him. And, you know, we'll see where he goes.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they do with him and the directions they go. This week, actually, since we're talking kind of about DC, the streaming service just dropped a trailer for Harley Quinn animated series on the DC streaming universe. I know we're Harley Quinned out. I know I am. But this one just caught my attention. If you have not watched it, go out and watch it. Do not watch it around children. If you can tell by the picture that I'm showing you right now, yes, Joker's getting hit in the nuts with the bat. Her language in this is just over the top. F-bomb after F-bomb. Everybody was freaked out about, you know, Robin saying, you know, F Batman. But no, this one, she doesn't care. And it basically, it's coming out November 29th. Will debut. It's DC streaming or DC Universe, so it will be a weekly release. Only Netflix is the ones that do the mass drop of everything, and you can binge. But no, they're doing the weekly release. And basically, Harley Quinn follows Harley Quinn's adventure after she breaks up with the Joker, including receiving help from Poison Ivy and others to become members of the Legion of Doom. And,
really?
Yeah. Now, and we have I always mess up her name, but Callie Coco
from Kaylee Coco.
Yeah, Kaylee. Yeah, she from Big Bang Theory. She will be playing or doing the voice of Harley Quinn.
I heard her. I mean, she's not bad.
Lake Bell.
She's not very strong, but
no.
Lake Bell.
Yeah, Lake Bell was playing Poison Ivy, and to play not just the Joker, but also Basil Carlo Clayface is the one and only Alan Tudyk. So
really?
Yeah. So again, we get Alan to play a Joker. I think he's done great voice work. He's been my Renaissance man of acting for a while. Anything he's involved in, it just is always, I'm always happy with.
Alan Tudyk, to me, he was great as the droid in Rogue One. I forgot its name. K2SOO, I think, believe it was. But I thought season one of Doom Patrol, he was Mr. Nobody. Yeah. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought out of all the characters in that show, he was the best one, because he just, you know, Mr. Nobody just breaks that fourth wall. But instead of doing it like a Deadpool version, he just did it in the Alan Tudyk way. And I thought, I was like, oh, this is great. I mean, just bring more of this guy. Like, he just made that show. And having Tudyk do the Joker.
So much.
So I guess we could say we're in a Tudyk-sance.
We are in a Tudyk-sance.
Tudyk-sance, I like that.
So yeah, so that, we have that to look forward to July, end of July. End of July. I'm sorry. What am I saying? November. That's November 29th.
November. Yeah, it's a couple weeks away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop smoking.
Sorry about that. I was like, ooh. So, all right. So I think we are at our end of the admissions ward. You have anything else?
No, sir. No?
All right, so we're gonna go ahead and kill this off, and we're gonna jump into, well, real quick. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it yet. I mean, this week's just been like, I swear this week has been the longest month I've ever gone through. It's just been crazy. So we did see The Mandalorian, but did you get a chance to watch Titans on Friday? I know it's kind of like, you know, dull compared to Mandalorian.
No. No. I mean, The Mandalorian, no, I didn't get a chance. Okay. Like you said, it's been one of those weeks.
It was a good episode. It's a good build up. We're seeing Mercy get in more and more into Gar's head, trying to brainwash him. we see we finally catch up with Robin and Rose. They're off gallivanting around being young kids, you know, doing, you know, crime fighting at night and breaking into rich people's homes and having sex everywhere during the day. And then we see all the girls from the Titans, except minus Rose. They all decide to they start seeing these commercials for donuts. it's the strangest thing. And basically, all the girls meet up at this donut shop, and who comes out of nowhere but the one and only Bruce Wayne, and the actual Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And
oh, figures. Yeah, and a room full of women. Yeah, no surprise there.
Yeah, but he comes in, he talks to them, tells them, hey, yeah, I do know Dick's in there, and if he wants to be in there, that's why he's in there. So that's why we have not seen him. You know, that's why we don't, you know, that complaint I had a couple weeks ago was, you know, I was like, where's Bruce? He should know where his kid is, you know, shouldn't he? And then they've all decided that, you know what, two of them have decided, you know, we're going to go break him out. The other ones are like, no, I'm done with this. Done with this nightmare, and they move on. And that's where we left off. Two more episodes left in the season, so I believe next episode will be the debut of Nightwing, actually. So,
well, took it long enough.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jesus, we've had almost 20 some episodes, and they've been saying Nightwing's coming. I thought he was gonna appear much quicker, but this whole season has been like a yet another building. But yeah. I mean, I guess when he burned the Robin suit, I thought it was coming.
Oh yeah, we knew.
But now it's just been taking so long, and now we're we have to get it in the next two episodes. So.
So, but yeah, that's what we're.
So, what do you think about Bruce Wayne? What do you think about Bruce Wayne so far this season? I mean, his portrayal by Ian Glenn.
I'm still on
the
fence.
Do you like it? I mean,
I'm still on the fence.
Still on the fence
with it? He has moments where I'm like, yeah, that's Bruce. And then other times I'm just like, no, I still don't buy him. Like that whole scene, when you watch it, watch the one that came out this week. You'll see that the scene's different. It's like Bruce wouldn't let his kids, you know, and I'm going to say his kids because they're all really his kids. He wouldn't let them just sit there and rot and stew in their own shit. He'd go out there and what's wrong with you? He'd pick them up, slap, you know, pick your shit up. Let's go. You're better than this. Instead, he's content with letting him just sit there and go off and do his own thing. And he's letting Jason Todd run around doing whatever with Rose. It's just like he doesn't come across to me as everything I've ever known of Bruce Wayne. Whether it's the animated series, the comic books, even the TV series, or in the movies, I mean, he just doesn't come across Bruce Wayne to me or Batman. Okay. I love him.
I think he's done a solid job.
He's good. He's a great actor. He's not conveying Bruce Wayne or Batman to me. I expect more out of Bruce Wayne and Batman. He is the backbone, the heartbeat of the Justice League. He's the one that always holds everybody, keeps everybody together, and I'm just not seeing that. I love him as Bruce Wayne in Dick's imagination, in his subconscious. I love that Bruce Wayne. That Bruce Wayne's awesome.
Yeah, that Bruce Wayne is the best. Yeah. Always just egging him on and fighting him, and that Bruce Wayne is great. But the outside Bruce Wayne is just like kind of bland.
Is one scene where Dick finally, I think he just like snaps and finally that Bruce Wayne in his mind and him start literally fighting and battling it out in a pretty cool fight scene. And that was so that one I was like pretty cool. It just gets a little weird. It kind of falls into the 90s Batman movie. There's a couple of weird scenes, like somehow these light shows start coming going off and smoke appears. It's just very kind of odd, but these last two episodes have been a little trippy, I think, for Titans.
No, you know, they probably just, you know, smoke a little hashish doing some of the episodes, so maybe that's what they did.
I'll
have to check it out though.
Yeah. So speaking of DC on TV, I guess we can go ahead and jump into your favorite section.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're going to do the crisis.
Yes, sir. The crisis is only, we are about 3 weeks away. December 8th, the first episode of Crisis dropped. Yeah, December 8th. It starts in Supergirl. It's part of a 5-part series. And we got the first teaser trailer this past week. And the teaser trailer is basically you have Harbinger going to each and every character of their respective shows saying, hey, guess what? There's this antimatter wall coming in your world, and the multiverse is in danger. Each time she shows up, she goes in Flash. She's like, hey, I need your help. Or, hey, I need your help in Legends of Tomorrow. She shows up in Supergirl at the DEO. Hey, this is what's... basically, it's the Harbinger show. She's showing up with these little clips, and she's recruiting all the heroes, as we know, to fight the antimatter for the war ahead. And I thought for what I saw was pretty cool. We still haven't seen the Anti-Monitor yet, but he's coming. We saw pictures of him, what he looked like. I mean, he's basically looked like Lamont Garrett, but just more distorted and disfigured, which is fine. He looks very Thanos-ish, by the way. So, yeah, it's coming. Crisis is coming. The thing about it this year, as far as the crisis, and we've heard about the crisis since last year, the ending credits of the Elseworlds crossover. But what's funny about this season of the CW shows is basically they have been, since episode one, they have been leading to Crisis. Like, they have their normal little arcs going on, especially like in Flash and Supergirl. They're there, but everything is still leading to Crisis. Crisis keeps getting mentioned in almost every episode. There's, especially in Flash, there's a crisis coming. Supergirl, not yet. Little hints. Arrow, a lot more. Legends is not on yet, obviously. But in Black Lightning, they haven't mentioned anything. Although they did show him in that teaser trailer too, which was kind of cool.
That was probably my biggest moment. I was like, yes, Black Lightning. And that was because beforehand you and I were like, oh, if he just shows up and like walks into a scene, we'll be happy. But him actually, like, I think he grabbed Flash or grabbed somebody. And he's like, what do you mean that my world's coming to an end? I just meet you. And I was like, yes, this is awesome.
Yeah, we might get more Black Adam, more Black Lightning than we think. And that new suit's pretty rad, by the way, even though it does look very Black Adam-ish.
Yeah.
But it's okay. But yeah, it's coming, and hopefully we'll stop talking about it. And, you know, I want to see it now.
Stop talking about it and start living it.
Yeah, start stopping about it. Let's live it. You know, I don't want to see no more teasers. I don't want to see no more behind-the-scenes photos. I want to see the actual story now. I'm at that point, kind of with the Snyder Cut we've discussed ad nauseum. Crisis, you know, I'm done. Just show me. I'm ready. Let me see Kingdom Come Superman. Yeah. Let me see old man Bruce Wayne. Let me see Tom Wheeling Smallville. Let's go.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
And we did have the big moment. They finally did their last day of filming for Arrow.
Sad day. I mean, he's the grandfather of this. I guess it's going to continue to be called the Arrowverse long after he's gone, even though his stupid kids are going to have a TV series, which is unfortunate to me. And that's another podcast altogether. Yeah. But yeah, it was sad. The producers Guggenheim and penned a letter to the fans, thanking them all for the journey. I think it was over 100 and something episodes, 170
yeah.
or 25, I'm not sure, but it's up there. And that's long. 8 seasons is long. Stephen Amell's just going to be just fine with that syndication money, so don't feel sorry for Stephen. Plus, he has another series coming up next year on Starz, if you're a wrestling fan, called Heels. Check that out.
Which I'm really? I didn't read about that.
Yeah. He's check it out. He's going to do he's a big pro wrestling fan.
He's
been friends with Cody Rhodes for the longest time and the Elite guys. So, yeah, he's going to do a series on Starz called Heels, which he's going to be playing a heel. So that'd be interesting to see, probably a 10-episode run. But yeah, it's sad to see Arrow go, but I think the writing was on the wall last season when they introduced Kamiko Queen, which is supposed to be a bigger part of the Arrow universe in the comics. They kind of dulled her down, and after that season, I was kind of like, you know what? This kind of show is kind of running its course, and I think it just needs to end. And they're going to go on a high note. So obviously he's going to die in Crisis, which, you know, if he doesn't, that'd be shocking. But, you know, you never know. Sad to see Arrow
maybe
go.
Maybe he'll walk into a different world. Maybe he'll go into a different universe and say, hey, I'm going to go to this one instead. You know? This one, everybody's still alive. Maybe he'll.
Maybe.
So we would never know.
It's the DCA. It's the multiverse. Yeah. So that's the one thing about DC is their multiverse, because Marvel has a multiverse as well. Only thing difference between DC and Marvel is DC actually uses their multiverse a lot more than Marvel does. A lot more. So,
yes, sir.
Is that a Sierra will go?
Yeah, it is. It is. So that is it for our Crisis. And let's see here. I was going to do a little bit about Mandalorian, but I think we've talked enough about Mandalorian right now. Just need to make sure I...
Yeah.
Make sure I just have to give this one. Give this one to Kane real fast, so that way he.
Oh boy! Yeah, there we go.
That is what
Disney just made. Disney has just made $2.5 million on that character alone.
This little guy right here.
My niece is on my Facebook page, and that is all she's posting. Like this baby Yoda all the time. Baby Yoda, baby Yoda, baby Yoda, baby Yoda, and then. I mean, it's a good hook.
It is.
Hopefully, it has a good story behind it, and
that,
you know,
I think it's the cute factor that they've tried to get with the Ewoks, tried to get with the Porgs, and just never get it. But this one's not only hits the cute factor, but then there's a story behind it as well that we, you know, are all waiting for.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, you can have that cute factor, but if there's no story, nobody cares. But this thing, you know, being OG Star Wars fans that we are, you know. Because the Yoda species has never been named.
Nope.
Not in Legends, not in any kind of canon, not in comic books. So we're finally going to find out the name of the species.
Yeah, that's
right. And obviously they're all Force sensitive.
Well, that was the one thing I do remember from the expanded universe is that his species was very strong in the Force. So, yeah, that's... And if anybody's seen this, the second episode, that you'll definitely see that. But yeah, no, that is what has torn up the internet lately, and it's so funny to watch Facebook and Twitter and everybody talking about it. And there are some big guys I know that that have pretty manly jobs, and they're all like, "Yeah, I'd stand in front of a I'd stand in a bullet for that little thing."
Yeah, I'll take a bullet for it. I'll throw myself in front of the truck for that Baby Yoda. It's not going to die. You know, I think we talked about me buying a Funko Pop of the Baby Yoda with its floating.
Yeah, there are some hardcore dudes are like, okay, man, that thing's cute. So, but we'll definitely get a chance to see more of that when it comes around. So next one we have, I guess we'll go ahead and jump into the Legends.
Legends of the Long Box.
All right, guys. So, Legends of the Long Box. This week, I think it will be primarily me dropping some books. I don't think Kane has picked up anything this week. And so that way, we'll do a quick one. I've only got two books, actually, that I picked up. All right, Kane, you back there? Sorry about that, guys. I think my internet dropped on us. Are you there, Kane?
Where'd everybody go?
I can hear you now. You there?
Yeah, I never left. Okay. I don't know what happened.
I think it's bad connection. I dropped and then I came back on. So, but we're going to do the Legends of the Long Box. If anybody is familiar with Legends of the Long Box, that is our segment where we talk about new reads that have come out this week. I know Kane hasn't made it to the comic book store. Josh and the boys are putting up wanted posters, making sure he's okay, putting his picture on the back of comic books and everything. So just to make sure that Kane's still alive. So what we're going to do, the first one I have is for the book that's part of a miniseries that they're running right now. It's for the multiverse, the Tales from the Dark Multiverse. Basically, this one is tackling the Blackest Night. And that's when it came time for, you know, if anybody is familiar with the Blackest Night series, Sinestro had found the White Power Ring. And to stop the Blackest Knights and the Black Lanterns, he had to choose whether to keep the power or to give it out to the other lanterns that were there to basically form the multicolored lanterns. In this story, he decided to keep it. And this so on this run, he is actually basically fighting back against everybody to try to maintain his power. They join a small group to try to travel to the ends of the universe to try to fight this, because this plague of the Blackest Night is taking over everybody. This book even ends up going to the war world, Apocalypse and the New Gods. It's very interesting to see a Black Barda, or Big Barda, sorry, with a power ring. So if anybody's interested in picking up that book, I would go ahead and grab that one. And my next one I have is from the Hill House line, which just started coming out. It's DC under their Black label. And it's the Hill House is, this one is for the Dollhouse, is what it actually is called. Dollhouse show, it follows a young girl who has a dollhouse. And this dollhouse has inhabitants inside of it that try to entice her in to join them. And oh, I think I got Kane back. Hey, Kane, how you doing there, buddy?
Hey, what's going
on?
How
you doing, man? Get dropped you there.
Talking about Dollhouse?
I was,
I see you're talking about Dollhouse.
Yeah. You missed the Blackest Night. Basically, what I was telling him is it's a retelling where instead of when Sinestro gets the white ring of power, what he does instead is he instead of passing it out to everybody else and sharing the power, he keeps it within to hold on to the power. So the black lanterns start taking over everywhere and spreading out across the galaxy, even to the point where they take over the New Genesis and Apocalypse and in the war Ooh. World. So when you see a Black Lantern Apocalypse, it's in Big Barda. It's very interesting. But
check that one out.
I just what's that?
I've been, you know, a big follower of the Dark Multiverse, so it's another one I have to pick up, especially after the Superman one, which was, you know, it's okay. That was all right.
But the did you finally read the Superman one?
Yes.
Okay. And you saw what happened at the end, where I was like, man, I don't know how. I was like kind of on the fence of that one. I was like, man, how. Like when she goes all berserk and then she realizes what she did and then turns around and kills him again. I was like, oh,
I don't know. But it's called Tales from the Dark Multiverse, so maybe I should have expected it. But it wasn't like the first one with the Batman and then the Azrael, the Nightfall one, which I thought had a better ending.
Yeah, that one definitely did. Yeah. But that's this one, the Blackest Night one, that one's an interesting one because this is the first time on here where we actually see them interact with, he actually interacts with Tempest. You know how in the last ones, he's just there as kind of telling the story he's kind of the bookmark for the beginning and the end. In this one, we actually see Sinestro trying to go after him. Saying, hey, help me. He's like, no, I can't help you. And he just closes the world off to him. I was like, oh, man, that hurt.
Damn.
But the next That's one hurtful. We have, but like I was just getting ready to start telling about the Dollhouse. This is, again, for the Hill House comic book line, which is under the DC Black label. This one's pretty cool. It's a concept. This young girl's living with her mother and dad. There's some issues, some marital issues, in the house, and so she's kind of falls in love with this little dollhouse that is here at her home, but we come to find out that there are people living in the dollhouse, tiny people.
Cool.
And they see her struggling with the things, and they invite her in to join them, for dinner and to be there for her through her struggles. And we see how that is happening, but also the book's going back in time to around the time that the home she's currently living in was being built in that time, and that there's another darker force at work in the background. So far, I've loved everything this Hill House series. I mean, there's only two right now, but this one and the Basket Full of Heads so far have been really good. This one definitely on the darker side. And inside of each one, if you notice, there's a where it says Sea Dogs, there's a small book, another story being told with each issue of the Sea Dogs. So that one's very short. I mean, literally like three pages on each. So we haven't really seen much of it yet, just yet. But like I said, yeah, the Dollhouse, so far so good.
Definitely one of the Black Label I'll have to pick up, you know, along with the other ones, like, you know, that you mentioned before, especially a basket case or basket head.
Head full of baskets. Yeah, that one's really good.
Head full of baskets. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I think a basket head, I think of a horror movie. So
so that is our Legends of the Long Box this week. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. We're working out some bugs here, guys. But we will be doing this show live on Facebook from now on. We had two hiccups, you know, throughout the show, but I think it went pretty good. We just gotta,
yeah, I think it was flow. We just gotta, you know, work out all kinks, and we'll get there, you know.
Yep.
Especially, you know, seeing these pretty faces.
Oh yeah.
So
only face a mother could love. So yeah. Make sure you guys love do you, check Mom. Us out and do check us out on heroesasylum.com. You'll be able to check out all of our pages as well as our heroes or not heroes, our movie review page. Our Midnight Movie page, which also has our Star Wars watch-alongs, which this week, I meant to release it last week, but this week we will have the first ever, the first one with Steve-O doing A New Hope. So make sure you guys get over there and check
that
out.
That was a fun one.
Oh yeah, it was.
Definitely a fun one we did. All I'll mention is two words, FF, YouTube. So.
Yes, sir. All right. Kane, until next week, I hope hope you guys have a good week. See ya.
You too. And get to the asylum. See ya.
Hey, went good. Not now.
Okay.
Alrighty. So that was sent
out. Alrighty then.
So it just like dropped on you or something?
Yeah, it just kind of just dropped. Like, I didn't have anything on. All of a sudden, I'm talking, and then it was gone. I'm like, where'd it go?
This individual for.
And then I was like, hello? And then I just had to, you know, reconnect to the stream, and that was it.
Yeah. So. All right. Yeah, it's probably just something going on. I mean, it is the internet. So if somebody starts, like, going nuts on the internet and download a bunch of crap, we get hit with it.